something else, and see ya. We always seem to find out about copycats at like 10 p.m. at night, and would keep us up till 1 a.m., 2 a.m. I love who I am. I'm never going to get it fully right, but I'm really proud of the person that I am and that I show up to be. Hi, I'm Erin Deering, and you're listening to The Work. Hi, everyone. On today's episode, I am going to be doing an old-fashioned Q&A. You guys sent me in a bunch of questions a little while ago, and I've compiled a list, and I'm going to get stuck into them. A bit of business, a bit of personal development. Let's get into it. Let's not wait around. Let's do it. First question. As a business owner and a mum, how do you find the balance and juggle it all? So the first thing that I would say is finding a balance and juggling. I would say let's say separate, right? Because juggling everything is just a continual act. You will be juggling everything as a mum and when you're working in business. It's, you know, some people say it's like balls in the air, and someone else said the other day, and I love this, it's like the balls are all scattered on the ground and you're just trying to pick them up. They're not even in the air, they're already on the ground, and you're just trying to pick them up and get them as you can. Now, striking that balance of business and motherhood, that is an ongoing journey, and it is something that you're never going to be in the middle of both. You know, you'll be mumming well and the business might take a backseat for a while, or you'll be thriving in business and the motherhood you're not like nailing. That's what happens, right? You're never getting both perfectly because we're mothers. Mum guilt's real. It never goes away. It's getting everything set up around you so that you don't feel so rocked by the times when your focus is on the other thing. So really putting that work into yourself to feeling okay with where your focus is and knowing that you're going to get it back on course, or you're going to course correct and move back into that way when you can. For example, I'm away a lot with my kids, and I know how to keep my trips short enough to not miss important things. I know when I get back from a trip, I'm with my kids. I know when I'm working all day, I get home and I try and put my phone down and allocate those boundaries and allocate those times to not be on my phone or not working. What are the key elements to consider for a successful business? First thing that pops into my mind is being customer centric. You know, your customer is king. I bang on about this more than ever at the moment, because I still see businesses that do not put their customer first. The customer is always first. You know, if you have a successful business, your customer's happy. You know, as soon as you neglect them, things are going to start dropping. It is customer centric. It is knowing when to delegate. And it is really, as much as this might sound contradictory to what I just said, also ensuring that you are across every single thing in your business, especially in its first couple of years. I've opened a very new boutique. How do I navigate discounts and loyalty programs? How do I compete in e-com? Okay, very good question. So try at Triangle, we never discounted our product. Now, this isn't to say that this is a hard and fast rule not to do it. It's just being really mindful of your why and why you would want to discount. You know, we didn't want to because we never wanted to educate our customer to get into that mentality of waiting for a sale, waiting for a discount, waiting for free shipping, whatever it was. We also, you know, that ruled everything out. Now, if you are someone that wants to incorporate discounts into your brand and business, which is totally fine, don't do it out of panic, you know? Don't go, oh my gosh, sales are down, let's do 20% off everything. Now, this is a really fear-based mentality that I see a lot of businesses doing. It's not often the way to kind of approach these things, because a quick fix like that, or just marking down, slashing prices like that and then pulling them back up again, it just shows that you're rocky. I think the customer wants to believe and trust in a business that is unwavering in its offering. And whilst you can do scheduled regular discounts if you want to, and they are things that are planned in advance. So they are things that are done at the start of a season, and you might, you know, for example, Black Friday, everyone does markdowns, everyone does free shipping. Even Triangle got into free shipping during that period because we just knew that we had to get on board. Those things are fine. You can do a Boxing Day sale. You can jump on board with the marketing things that other people are doing, but don't panic discount. Now, a loyalty program, this is a fantastic one to set up for your customer. These take time, right? Because loyalty is something that takes time. You can't fake loyalty with a customer. They can't fake it with you. So don't build out some loyalty program that's off the cuff, quickly done without real consideration. Real consideration means that you need a lot of data from your customer to do so. You need to have the time with them to see what they're actually being loyal about and then build your program out of that. A quick way to do this, or an easy way to do this, or a right way to do this, is to see what other loyalty programs are out there, pick what you love, and then also see if that actually does apply to your customer. Don't just go, oh, that's a great loyalty program by that business over there, I'm going to copy it, because they might be a completely different structure to you. So whilst you take reference and I guess inspiration from other brands and companies, you need to know your customer to know what to build out for them. And for the final question, how do I compete in e-com? Very, very big question. I get this one a lot. It's wide ranging. It is ensuring that your marketing strategies are strong but flexible. It's testing. You know, at Triangle, we were all about testing. Test this, test that, test this. Because you don't want to go a million miles an hour with a marketing strategy to be seen as a brand and realize it's the wrong strategy early in. So everything was just small tests. Everything was a small test. You know, e-com is a really saturated space, but at the same time, there's incredible brands out there doing incredible things. Again, I would reference brands that are doing really well in the space. Just have a look at what they're doing. What's working for them? Is it their product offering? Is it their customer niche? Is it their digital marketing? Is it their social media marketing? And just start to get a feel around what is out there and what you can do. You know, compete. There's no short-term solution. There's no short fix. There's no shortcut to being competitive in the e-com space. It's going to take time to be seen. So just be patient with it and test a bunch of things. So I would suggest creating a document. And every time you see something that you're inspired by on the go, because a lot, right, it sounds great to sit down and have these times where you feel inspired, but really it's on the go that you'll see things. So when you see a Facebook ad that you think is good, take a screenshot, put it in the document, put it in the file. When you see an amazing social media campaign on Instagram, a great ad, a great sponsored post or whatever it is, screenshot, pop it in, and then you can reference that back when you need to start to build things out. So just do that on the go, build all that data for yourself that you like, because don't belittle yourself in terms of what you like. A lot of people, as founders especially, we ignore and we dismiss what we like, and we're just thinking, what is this other person like? What is this customer like? Whilst that's important, and I'm very customer-centric, just start with what you like, because it's way easier, because you're going to know what you like. Build that little content base and then work from there. In the current market, what is the best way to reach potential customers? Okay, so this is just marketing. And again, it lends back to testing different things. You know, digital marketing is an incredible tool. It costs money, but it's an incredible tool if you can afford to do it and you understand how to do it. Now, this might be using an agency. This might be doing a lot of research yourself on how digital marketing works. In our Triangle days, we never did digital marketing. So it's a really foreign area to me and one that I need expertise on. And if that's you and you're the same as me, then go and find out what that is with digital marketing that's going to work for you. Go and speak to the experts in that area. Also, your distribution channel. You know, are you direct to consumer? Do you just have an e-commerce store? Do you want to have distribution channels that extend out into wholesale? Do you want to have retail? Do you want to do some more kind of guerrilla style marketing where you take it to the streets? You know, there's so many ways to be seen, to get to your customers. It's again, just finding, you know, how do you as a business owner like to be approached by a brand? You know, where do you like to see them? What do you feel speaks to you? Listen to that and apply that to your brand. A lot of people, we miss that connection. We're constantly thinking what our customer wants. We need to set the tone of what we like to see and have faith that what we like is what our customer will like as well. When and how to take profit for your business. Okay, so it's a really common thing in founder land to not take a salary and to not take any profits from the business for as long as is necessary, which is a really long time for some people. And I'm of the mindset that this is a great way to do it. You know, you shouldn't be drawing down a big salary. You shouldn't be taking out profits if you can't afford to. You know, of course you don't want to spend every single dollar back into the business, but some people do. And you know, this is a really personal decision that you kind of have to assess. If you need to live and you need to pay the bills and put food on the table, absolutely take profits out of your business. If you feel that a lot of the profits, you know, or take a salary, you know, this is the thing too. There's a few different ways to do it. a lot of people need to take a salary, you know, because they can't afford to live with nothing. They don't have a capital injection at the start that they can live off, you know. So drawing down a salary is crucial for a lot of people. Taking profits out, which might be, say, for example, you're a founder and your revenue is $600,000 and the profits are $300,000 and you're thinking, do I take these profits or do I put them back into the business? You might be able to do a lot more with that $300,000 in terms of digital marketing, expanding your product range, investment into other forms of marketing, publicity, advertising, loyalty programs for your customers. Sometimes you got to spend a little to make a little. So really check in with yourself as to what you need the profits for and why. And I would say be as lean as you can in what you take from the business for as long as you can, because it could impact your ability to make more profit in the future. I heard John Mayer say something really profound, actually, that a lot of people didn't set expectations for their success. So then when they did things that were seen as really successful and amazing, they hadn't even given themselves this benchmark of what success was and or the expectation of it. So they didn't really know what was successful and what wasn't. For example, for me, is success selling 5,000 copies of my new book or is it selling 50,000 copies of my new book? So when I get to 5,000, am I happy or not? When I get to 50,000, am I happy or not? This is the same with taking profits from your business. What is your level of revenue that you need to make to feel like, you know, all bases are covered and money on top of that is money I can take out? You know, what is your, I guess, bottom line of your costs of running the business? Are they really lean costs of running the business? And maybe you need to flesh them out to then profit, but put revenue into that. So your profit is your profit, but often your revenue or your running costs might be so lean that you need to put that into it. So if you can set the expectations of what you want your business to run at and what it costs to run it lean, really well and incredibly luxuriously well, maybe set those expectations and then you'll kind of have more clarity around what profit you need to take or what profit you can take. More info on mentally dealing with copycats. Whew, I write about this a lot in the book because we spent a good whole year dealing with this at Triangle and it kept us up at night. Really, really, we always seemed to find out about copycats at like 10 p.m. at night and it would keep us up till 1 a.m., 2 a.m. And we'd go through this anger and shock and betrayal and then this sort of acceptance and then back to anger and then wanting to, you know, action it and sue them and then back to accept it, you know. Mentally, it is really challenging and that's okay. You know, you're allowed to sit with those feelings of frustration, you know, asking to deal with this, how to deal with it mentally. It's okay to feel absolutely infuriated when someone is copying you. That's a normal feeling, you know, so don't push that away. Don't not sit in it for a while. Don't not scream if you want to scream or cry if you want to cry or, you know, call some friends and vent to them, you know, asking them first if you're allowed to, of course, but, you know, call them and ask that. It's the hanging on to that feeling that's when it becomes a problem. You know, there will be copycats no matter what, especially in the industries that are not as regulated as fashion and consumer-led products. You know, you can't put a trademark on a piece of clothing. It's not possible. So copycats will exist no matter what. You have to know that you are the innovator. You have to know that these people are copying you regardless, and you just got to keep moving forward. You know, have your little hour or day even of feeling really flat about it and then move forward. Know that they will constantly be trying to chase your tail and that your job is to just constantly innovate and they'll just run out of steam at some point, because if they were able to innovate, they'd be innovating, not copying. Guys, I am so excited. Today's actually the day that this baby is here. So Hanging by a Thread has launched. It is out. It is officially going to be in your hands very, very soon if you've ordered one. And if you haven't, what are you doing? Go get one. I'm so proud of this book. I cannot wait for everybody to read it. It is in all good bookstores. It is online on Booktopia. Please let me know once you've read it what you think. I'm dying to hear everyone's thoughts. And thank you for all your support along the way. I know I have gone on and on about this book, but I am just really excited for everyone to get it. Global and Australian trademarks. Why you would or shouldn't get one. Okay, big one. Big one, because it's expensive to get trademarks. Global, it's incredibly expensive because there are so many jurisdictions. You know, we went through this with Triangle, and it wasn't just registering in Australia and the United States and, you know, the UK. It was the 40, 50, 60 other countries that you kind of thought, well, we probably should just in case. And that's when things get really, really expensive. So I wouldn't worry about global until you have proven your product in Australia and had that little bit of time. If you can afford it, go nuts, do it all. Why not? If you can't afford it and money, because it's really expensive. And if you can't afford to do the rest of the world, I would definitely recommend proceeding with some kind of protection in Australia. The last thing you want is to be down the line with a name, down the line with a product, and realizing that you can't use that name anymore and rebranding. Yeah, we saw it successfully happen with Subi many, many years ago. They used to be TSUBI and they had to change to KSUBI. But very fortunately, it was Subi regardless. So it didn't really matter. But that's kind of, you know, that doesn't happen too often. A lot of brands have to completely change their name, which means you lose all your IP, your entire identity, and especially in today's social media age, you don't want to have to lose that at all. So I would say highly, highly recommend, you know, it's something to put at the top of the priority list to, at the very, very least, get a trademark in the name that you want to use. Or check, you can do this, this costs money too, but you can check the likelihood of getting a name through. If you've got a name and there's so many blocks to that name already and you just know you're not going to get it through, don't use that name. If your name looks pretty free and you want to use a name that seems to have a pretty high chance of getting a trademark, but you can't afford to actually get that trademark at the moment, then you might be okay to continue. But I would highly recommend everybody doing this process at the very, very start of launching a business. I have a new business and some days I'm making nothing, $0. How do I not lose confidence? I'm still trying, but I'm feeling sad. Yeah, look, I feel this one. It's really hard when this happens and you feel like you're seeing everyone on social media succeeding and just killing it. And the thing is, you are, because people only show the success stories, you know? People only show when it worked for them. They're not gonna show the zero sales days, and they shouldn't, because it's a highlights reel online everywhere. So try and stick with what you're doing. If some days are zero and some days are great, then just use these zero days as opportunities to understand why. Like, did you post something that worked on those busy days? Did you put a product out that worked better? Where were your customers coming from on the days you had sales? And where, obviously, when you don't have sales, they're not coming, but where, you know, start to really lean into the data and become really informed, because there might be something that you're missing because you're so into it, right? And on those zero days, you're panicking. You're thinking, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what do I do? And on the days when you have sales, you're like, ah, sigh of relief. Use the days when you're making sales, you know, check where the sales are coming from, check what they're buying, get hyper fixated on what every single sale is telling you. And the clues will be in there to show you what is happening to get those zero days. Don't, you know, be sad a little bit, but use that as fuel to figure out what's going on and take the next step forward in making sure that you don't have any zero days. What is your process for prioritizing self-care, work, kids, when you're in the building phase of a business? Okay, so this is like the hustle season that I talk about. Now, this is going to be an off-balance season, you know? Self-care might not be as fulfilling as it is in other times. Kids might not take a back seat, but, you know, you might feel a little bit more mum guilt during this time. It's a season. And it's okay to do this for a short amount of time, or the time that you really, really need to do when you're building a business. Just acknowledging that is gonna make you feel better, right? That this isn't forever, it's just for now, because a building phase, a hustle phase, is a really important phase to stay focused on your business. And understand that self-care, you know, like for me, self-care is a huge, huge priority. I bang on about it, I'm self-first. I'm in a really busy phase of my life at the moment. I'm not getting the things that I usually get done. I'm not seeing the people I usually see or getting the treatments done that I need to. And that's okay, because I've done all this work in the calm time to get me to a place when I don't have to put as much focus on it. It's going to get me through. And then when I'm out of this phase, I'll get back into that. Now, my kids is different, obviously. You don't park your kids and their needs during this time. But just be okay with knowing that you're going to not be as focused on them for this period of time, letting them know, you know, mummy's busy, mummy has a lot on. Explain to them. Kids understand things when you explain it to them, you know, from a very young age, from 3 onwards, they're understanding that. And when you're with them, be present with them. Make sure you put the phone down. Really, this is a really hard one for me. It sounds so simple, but it is so hard for me to do. I put my phone in another room when I'm home with my kids. I put it in another room because otherwise I'll just, if it's next to me and I'm like, I'm going to put it down, I'm just going to pick it up again because we're addicted and it's a force of habit just to get back on it, get back on it, get back on it. Put it in another room. Give yourself, your kids don't need that much time. Read a couple of stories, spend half an hour with them. Enjoy those bits if you're home with them. Put them to bed and then start working again. You know, it's okay to do this for a season. You'll get back on track and your business is going to thank you for it if you give it some focus at this time. Tips for going back to work after babies, especially when you are the sole CEO. Did you take maternity leave? No. So, I didn't take even a minute off with Triangle after Oscar. With Ollie was a little bit different. My second, I probably had, not really though, I worked pretty solidly through. I don't recommend this, but I do know what it's like when there's no one to pick up the slack for you. So just go easy on yourself. There are days when you have a newborn and a baby where you feel like you can do more. So do more. There are days when you can't even look at a computer screen or use your brain at all. And don't stress because that's just the way that it is. And just park that time. I'm, as much as I want to say, take the time off, like nothing's gonna, you know, you're gonna, nothing's better than this time with your baby. I'm a realist. And when we're sole founders and CEOs and there's no one there to do the work, sometimes we're just gonna have to realize that this time is going to be a bit of a situation and we're gonna find we're probably pushing ourselves a little bit too much. But don't go so far that you completely burn out and ask for help wherever you can. That was one thing I learned very, very quickly when I moved back to Australia and I had my third. Get everyone to help. Can someone cook me dinner? Can someone do the laundry? Can someone come and hold the baby for an hour while I go and do this thing that I need to do? Lean on every single person around you. Do not be afraid to ask for help so you can get stuff done, even if it is work stuff. No one, actually people will probably judge you, but who cares? Because you gotta do what you gotta do. How do you monitor your time on social media when it's your job, but also your mental health? I went through a phase where I had a lot of guilt about it. It was like a period where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm on it too much and it's consuming me. The more I got into the workflow of using social media and now it really is there for my business, the less guilt I feel about it. You know, I don't really scroll on Instagram absentmindedly too often anymore. I'm on there for a purpose. And if I find myself scrolling, I'm like, oh, quick, and I pull myself off. Like I'm kind of like, oh, done. Only you know when it becomes a problem for you. And I would just say the more you use it for work, the more those feelings will go away naturally anyway of anxiety around your screen time, like my hours. I think I'm on my phone. It said I was 17% down this week actually, but I'm still on it for about 7.5 hours a day, which is insane. But that's where my work is. It's all on my phone. So that's not on Instagram. That's on my phone. That's on everything else because we're on it all the time. And I just don't really care about that anymore because I know that I'm balanced with it as much as I can be. We're all addicted. It's just the way it is now. There's no point trying to fight it. We're all addicted to our phones and just being okay with that and knowing that, you know, things will shift again in the future with it anyway. It's the way we have to be. I adore your strength and that you know and love who you are. Do people ever react negatively? Yeah, definitely. There's people that have a negative reaction to when I'm talking the way that I do, and that's human nature, you know. And at the beginning, it used to really bother me. It would make me so upset. If I got one negative comment, I would, you know, want to cry, or I'd be so mad and I'd feel awful about them, and I'd be like, I'm going to go and fuck them up kind of vibe. Now I protect myself a lot. Actually, my personal trainer told me this. He said if he opens a message and it looks like he can quickly see if it's going to be negative, he deletes it straight away. He doesn't even read it. He can tell from the first sentence or what it's going to be a troll and he deletes it. So I've kind of adopted that mentality. I don't buy into it. I used to be really, really open to discourse about things that were in disagreement to me. And I still do that absolutely, but less and less because my convictions are so much stronger now than ever. And I just don't want to get into that real low vibe place with people. I love who I am. I'm never going to get it fully right, but I'm really proud of the person that I am and that I show up to be. So people react negatively, but you know, that's their own shit. It's not mine. Thanks for tuning in this week, guys. I love a Q&A, so please keep them coming. If you ever have any questions for me, I'll put them up regularly and we'll do this again. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.